Now to our best highlights.
Come on.
Out of bounds.
On the field.
Footballing pioneers.
In the history of the game.
As long as there's been footy, there have been superstars for us to idolise.
All right, welcome to Kick the Kick is Backwards and Coming Forwards. Round one preview, second round of football though. And I have Nick today, not Charlie. Welcome, Nick.
Good to be back. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for filling in. Charlie is being really selfish. Decided to have his baby today.
No.
He's at the hospital, so we actually wish Charlie happy birthday. Happy, good luck.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, number two.
Number two.
So piece of cake after the second, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Okay. So no more.
No, I have to. I know. I'm not going to spoil it for him. Now, Nick, we've started doing a bit of trivia to start with each episode. I'm going to give you a question. I want you to have a think about it, and you can give me the answer at the end. Even if you know the answer straight away, don't spoil it for us.
Okay.
And I've chosen you a Demons-related question.
Oh, thank God.
To help you. So remember, don't answer straight away. Which Demons player drafted in 1999 was offered a contract with an English soccer club but turned it down? So that's one to have a think about. While we're talking about this episode,
I wouldn't be thinking about anything but that for the rest of the episode. So, lock it in.
All right. Well, let's go through round one before we get into the games. This was the most attended round one of all time.
Is that right?
414,253 people went through the turnstiles this weekend.
Is that including round zero?
No. Yeah. Beating the record from 2017, which was 400,401.
Wow, eh?
So the appetite for football is back. So round one kicked us off on Thursday night.
We had the traditional opening round. It didn't feel like it though. So Carlton and Richmond.
Yeah. And my big, the bee in my bonnet with that game is it's never good, but this was actually a bloody
ripper.
Good game.
Cracker.
I reckon since they started playing round one games, I think this is the best one they've had.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a fizzer.
They had a draw last year, but it was like a low scoring draw. This was a high octane, like anyone can kind of win. Back and forth, like it wasn't a grind. It was enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. They don't need the pressure of a curtain raiser.
Yeah,
they just play for it.
Now, if you're watching that game, you would have heard Brian Taylor say a million times they've won their last six games by under a goal.
Is there? Yes.
Yeah, he said it numerous amounts of times.
Repetition.
Yeah, within that they've had a few losses as well. So let me just take you back through those. So we go all the way back to I think it was round 22. They played the Demons, beat you by 4 points at the G.
Couldn't forget.
And they beat the Suns by 4 points at Carrara. But then they lost to the GWS Giants by about 4 or 5 goals in the end, last round of last season. They beat the Swans by 6 in an elimination. They beat the Ds by, was it 2 in the semi-final?
Who knows?
Yeah. And they lost to Brisbane in the qualifying final by, again, about 4 or 5 goals. This season beat the Lions by a point, Tigers by 4 points. So he's
right, but there's a few in there that he's missed.
You don't forget the losses.
Yeah.
Still, they are doing what Collingwood probably was doing a year or two ago, like those close games.
Yeah, unfortunately.
This is the first time since 2012 that Carlton started 2-0 and Richmond started 0-2 as well.
Is that right?
Yep. So Carlton are the only AFL team to be 2-0 twice after round one.
That's because they're looking hot.
Well, after one round of football, they've already won two games. That's the anomaly. They did this also in 1979, defeating Essendon and then Geelong, because I think they brought forward the game with Essendon as like a opening round thing, and then they played round one.
So they've done this before?
They've done this. Yeah, the AFL's done this before. VFL's done it before. Yeah.
I thought it was a new thing.
No, they brought games forward. They tested lots of different things out. And that year, they went on to beat Collingwood by 5 points in the grand final. Is this an omen for them making the grand final, Nick?
You love a good omen, so I'll roll with it.
We've got omens for every team almost already.
Yeah. Right,
next game.
Next game we had Collingwood Sydney.
Yeah, and what a turner for the books this one, wasn't it?
Oh, they're looking red hot, those Swannies. Red hot.
They are. So the crowd was 78,933, the biggest crowd between these two teams of all time. When do you think the last record was? So 78,000 was this week. The previous record, when do you reckon it was?
Was it a final?
It was a grand final. 1936.
South Melbourne.
South Melbourne, of course. The 1936 grand final, 74,091 people watched that game. So biggest crowd for these two teams since then.
Wow. Very impressive. And what was that?
That was a grand final.
Oh, it was a granny?
Yeah.
They only had 70.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep, Collingwood won that one as well. Did you see the pre-game stuff?
So didn't
see. Very, very early. They raised the flag. I don't know who actually raised the flag. They had different supporters from different parts of Australia carrying it out. So,
is this the unfurling?
Yeah. I don't know who officially unfurled it. Maybe those six people. But what I did like is they had different members of their history with each of the cups they've won. So they had, for 1902, they had Anthony Leach.
What's his connection? Is there a connection?
Relative would have been the captain of the captain coach of the team.
Yep.
Had Margaret Rush for 1903, George Angus for 1910. I believe, Jeff Angus. I think his great-great-grandfather, George Angus, was a captain then. Sarah O'Callaghan for 1917. 1919 was Russell Kennedy. 1927, Sid Coventry Jr., son of Sid Coventry. And he looked very old. So, yeah, Angus Locke for 1928. Richard Collier for 1929. Judy Rains for 1930. Journalist Glenn McFarlane for 1935.
Oh, yeah.
His grandfather, Charlie Dibbs, was a five-time premiership player with Collingwood at that stage. Brett Panham for 1936. 1957, Thorold Merritt, who's still alive.
Name.
Yep. Brian Beers for 1958. Dennis Banks for 1990. Nick Maxwell for 2010. And Peter Moore carrying out the 2023 trophy. Jeez.
There's a few.
Yeah. I like that they went back through history and they pulled all those old links there.
That'd be run by the club, would it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice way to pay homage. Now, this was the Swans' 241st game at the MCG since 1897. It was Scott Pendlebury's 242nd game at the MCG since 2006.
Is that getting close to a record?
Yeah, it's up there. I think Kevin Bartlett holds the record for that.
Yeah, he's got to be. Because he'd play most of his games there. Collingwood don't play anywhere but the MCG.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So. Yeah. Now, Grundy having another win against another ex-team.
Yeah,
he's undefeated against his ex-team.
Of course, back-to-back
two in a row.
Ex-teams.
Has anyone else done this before, played against their two ex-teams in the first two rounds? Yes, they have. We have Ray Harper, Jim Shanahan, Bob Carroll, Peter Cavan, Bob Pyman, all starting their VFL career at a third club by playing against their old club in round one and two.
Wow, that's a few.
Then we have Dale Kickett.
Oh, yes.
Who played for... I think he played for four. Did he play for five? I think he played for five. At his fourth club, Essendon, his first three games were against West Coast, his second club, Fitzroy, his first club, and St Kilda, his third club.
That's going to be a one time only.
Yeah. The last two AFL premiers who started the season 0-2 missed the finals. So it was Collingwood last year.
Yeah.
And then Hawthorn in 2009. But I wouldn't think it's much to worry about yet. Since 2000, approximately 18% of 0-2 teams have recovered to qualify for finals.
18%?
Yeah.
Mm.
And here's another fun fact to finish off our talk about Collingwood Sydney. Under John Longmire, Sydney have recorded a final score of 15-12, 102 only twice. On both occasions, it was against Collingwood on a Friday night at the MCG.
Good old omen.
Yeah, I don't know what the omen is there, but...
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Next game,
yep.
We had the line in the sand, Essendon and the Hawks.
And it looked that way early on. There was a bit of rough and tumble very early
bit
on.
Bit of biff?
Well, after that first goal, which Sicily gave away a free kick.
Yeah, I heard he was a bit upset.
And then some Bombers players went and kind of roughed him up. And then Andrew McGrath went in for a hip and shoulder as well. Sicily dug in and lifted him up off the ground. And then gave him a little kick on the way for good measure and gave away another free kick.
Oh, no. Captain.
Unfortunately... He Mason Redmond got the handball off and missed the goal. It would have been great if he kicked it.
Really rub it in.
But yeah, I was there. I was going to tell you, as an Essendon supporter, I was pretty worried at halftime. We didn't look great. Hawthorn had been inaccurate, so we were lucky to win that.
Yeah.
But we still got the 4 points. Essendon have a tough draw coming up, so we'll really find out where the Bombers are at in the next few
weeks. Hawks looking all right?
Looked all right, and they had a lot of injuries as well, so they'll be serviceable again.
Yeah.
As a Hawks fan, you probably want... hard fought losses.
Yeah.
And another good draft pick.
Kick a bit straight and they could have won.
They could have, absolutely. They were also celebrating the 1984 grand final. They had a big cavalcade of stars go around with the Premiership Cup before the game.
Essendon?
Yeah, Essendon. Terry Danaher, some Madden, Tim Watson, they were all there, Bomber Thompson. And funny enough, the final margin was 24 points for this game, just like in 1984.
There you go.
Yeah. Ben McKay was playing his 72nd game after 71 with the Roos, and this was the biggest crowd of his career. Yeah,
that is wild.
Yep.
How did he go? Did he?
He took about five intercept marks in the defence. So he did well.
He's earning his money.
Yeah, so far. Sicily had a very poor game as well. Yeah. He hadn't had that few disposals since 2020. So outstanding work from Guelphy there. And the Hawks had Massimo D'Ambrosio running around for them, who's an ex-bomber, and he played really well. And I didn't hear any boos from the Essendon supporters.
You've matured as a supporter base.
I feel like maybe we have. We're just so worried about
boring.
Surely.
Yeah. You got a boo. Or maybe. Yeah, well, we didn't boo. Did he choose to leave? It's usually under the circumstances.
Yeah, he chose to leave.
Although,
did we push him out? I can't remember. But there was no hard feelings. Most people were happy for him to be doing so well, getting a bit of a game.
Yeah. Next game, we had the Giants and North. Is this a bit of a biff in this game, or am I making
that
up?
Not really.
No.
I'm making it up. Josh Kelly playing his 200th game, fastest player to 200 games for the Giants. Took him 9 years, I think. I think he's breaking Callum Ward's record. It took him 10 years.
Yeah, okay.
And Jesse Hogan.
Oh, what bring a story. Him back.
First player to have kicked 10 goals before the end of round one since Tony Modra in 1994.
Really?
Yeah. And it helps it. I mean, Modra did it in one game. Hogan's done it in two.
Yeah.
But at this stage, if Jesse Hogan, he always had the talent, didn't he?
Oh, well, he was kicking bags in his first year.
Was that his best year?
I think he played right last year, did he?
Yeah, but in terms of like, was his best year his first year, and then it's all been kind of downhill from there, or was all his time at Melbourne pretty serviceable?
It was all pretty serviceable, I thought.
Okay.
As a Dees fan, I was genuinely pretty disappointed to see him go.
Yeah.
I think there was obviously a bit more going on.
Yeah. You screwed over Fremantle there.
Yeah.
Again. And then
he's turned it around.
Yeah, he's turned it around.
Jeez, so Freo would be pretty filthy about
that. Yeah, I don't think they got much for the pick. No. I enjoy watching him play.
Yeah, oh, talented. And just a big bruiser forward. Yeah. The old school.
But how much would Melbourne want him now?
Oh, makes me so sad.
And just to see him going out there doing that, and maybe Sydney's good for him because he's not in the media.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah.
I think that was probably what I helped. Good for him. Next game, we have the Cats and the Saints.
Yeah, biggest crowd at Cardinia Park in the AFL era for a game. Oh, between anyone, I believe. Oh, of course, because the Joel Selwood stand has just opened.
Yes.
Yeah. 39,352 Geelong St Kilda round one, breaking the previous record, which was 32,815 for the second qualifying final in 2013.
Yeah. Did you see the little ceremony for him?
I did. He kicked a goal.
What's that about? That was I was watching it. Is it he going to kick this football through? What's the reasoning?
Yeah, I don't know.
He looked uncomfortable. It seemed strange.
In his suit.
He was in
his
suit.
Ball into his stand.
Imagine how nervous he would be.
You wouldn't want to miss.
No.
Saints haven't won at Cardinia Park since 1999. So they've had 11 losses straight there now.
Yeah, it's tough.
In this game, Tom Hawkins now moves level on most wins at Cardinia Park with Joel Selwood of 97.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's closing in on 100 wins there. Geelong have won by a margin of 8 points 6 times at Cardinia. 3 of these have been against the Saints. 1970, 1975, and now this year as well.
Yeah, a bit stiff.
Dangerfield, would you believe this is his 8th season with the Cats? After 8 seasons with the Crows.
Nah.
Yeah.
He's nearly more a Cat than he is.
Well, he has. He's played more games as the Cats. He's played 168 for the Cats after 154 for the Crows.
Yeah.
Years of finals have definitely helped that.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And lastly, Sean Manor, one of our friends that we know, he came on in the last quarter as a sub. You could say he was a turning point because from that point on, the Cats looked pretty good.
It's him.
He touched the ball a few times, had a great goal assist. Had a few shots on goal and could have had the chance to kick one. I think he got tackled the first time, kicked into the man in the mark the second, and then the ball was touched and dribbled over the line the last time. But yeah, he was in amongst it, so good to see him finally getting a shot at AFL level.
Yes, tough coming on, trying to make an impact in those subs. I feel sorry for them sometimes.
Yeah, I know. It's a
especially if you're trying to break into the team.
It's a terrible way to start your career, like coming on as a sub.
Yeah.
It should be a rule that you can't come on as a sub.
Yeah, unless it's before halftime.
Yep.
Because it's hard to impact. Anyway, I'm sure he's pretty wrapped just to be out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good for him. And next game we had the Suns and the Crows.
Did you see any of this game?
You know what? I was tracking it just on my app.
Shocking weather.
Oh, it was the weather.
It was torrential.
But it looked like the Suns were dominating for the whole game, and then it looks like they only just won.
Yeah, well, the Crows only kicked one goal for the first 2.5 quarters.
Yeah.
And then they kind of just flicked the switch. And you'd be filthy if you're an Adelaide supporter, because they played great in the last quarter, but where was that for the first 2 quarters?
Didn't see that.
Shocking weather, lots of rain, and like really slippery. The fourth time in Hardwick's 15 seasons as a coach where his team's been 2-0. Gold Coast's first since 2018.
Okay.
And we also have co-captain Jared Witt's move to 30 wins as captain of the Suns, breaking Gary Ablett Jr.'s record of 29.
Oh, there you go. Long standing.
Yes.
Oh, no. Dimmers seems to have maybe turned the corner for them. Who knows?
It's only 2 games. They play the Dogs this week up in Ballarat, so it'll be interesting to see how they go there.
That will be a good challenge.
Climate, bit of a, shouldn't be as wet.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the D's and the Dogs.
You didn't go, did you?
I didn't end up going,
unfortunately. Were you nervous about this game?
You know, I rate the Dogs as a list really highly, so yeah. I thought it would be a really tough game, and we didn't look like much of a change last week, so I was a bit nervous. But we always seem to play well against them.
Yeah. That bit up by the media.
Yeah,
that maybe. Big rivalry you apparently have.
Yeah, because they played. We played their song.
Yeah.
we sang their song. Their special song.
What a reason.
Don't worry about the fact that we beat them. No, we don't like them. It's the song.
Yeah. So, a few things I want to point out. Lucky Bramble, who plays for the Dogs, he wears number 29 because Neil Cordy, who had that number for 139 games, taught his dad.
There you go.
Yeah. Good little omen there.
Yeah.
But Clayton Oliver, I think he was probably the story from this game, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Standing ovation.
I think as a fan base, they just wanted to see him succeed.
Yeah.
And, come good. And it was just nice to see him finally do that. And
he actually came out and was interviewed as well. And like a lot of his teammates spoke about him during the week in the lead-up.
Yeah.
So they're kind of opening up about him and... Did you listen to Petrarca's interview about him last week?
I've seen a few snippets of his different interviews throughout the week.
Yeah, he kind of let us down, but forgiveness is, the best medicine for that, and he's, repaying us. And
well, I think they've been really throwing their arms around him, so
yeah.
I think he wants to repay the faith by the sounds of it too, which is good.
Brownlow medal? He'd easily get 3 votes, wouldn't he?
There was a few. Okay. There was a few that played well on the day. I don't know if the umpires rate him as much. I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's his... I don't know, we'll see.
Okay.
You would have thought so, but maybe because... I don't know, maybe I'm reading into it too much, but he hasn't polled as much in the past when he should have.
Okay. He does have the red hair. That usually helps.
It does stick out.
Yeah.
And he's been in the media a lot, so... can't miss him. Next game we had Port and the Eagles.
Yeah, I haven't got a lot from this game. It was... As we predicted, a Port Adelaide whitewash. Only was it 50 points in the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, we predicted 60, so close. Port generally usually win their first round match.
At home.
Bailey Williams of the West Coast Eagle has now the least number of wins of any West Coast Eagle in their first 50 games at the club.
What's that? How many?
He's had 10.
10 wins.
Yeah. The previous worst was 12 by Brad Ebert and 14 by Josh Kennedy.
Yeah. I didn't see any of it, but I was hoping maybe they at least looked like they were having a crack.
Yeah, they kind of did it now and then, but Port are always hard at home in the first round. And Harley Reid, he came out all right and, did some good things and looks like he's going to be a very good player.
Yeah. No. And the final game of the round was Freo and Brisbane.
Well, this is probably the upset of the round, I think.
Yeah, I did not see that.
We talked last week, Charlie and I, about Brisbane. We didn't really know where Freo was and who they are and what they're going to be. And we kind of expected that Brisbane should just dominate this game and come out angry after the Carlton game, but no, that wasn't the case. They gave up a streak of 8 unanswered goals.
That's crazy. They did that against Carlton too.
For the second time this year. It happened once last year, and that was in round one.
What's going on?
And then we had Caleb Sarong, who dominated 44 disposals, I believe.
I think it might have been 46.
Yeah, sorry. 46 disposals, knocking off the previous record, which was 44 from Peter Bell and David Mundy. And unlike other records, this is indisputable because we've kept records on Freo since they've been here.
Yeah, okay.
But for Essendon or Melbourne, for instance, they only started keeping those stats in 1965. So it's plausible that Ivor Warne-Smith had 50 possessions in 1927.
Undisputable.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice little label to have for Caleb Strong. He's pretty young.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know Charlie had him in his fantasy team and scored big.
Yeah, yeah. He sure did.
So that's the game. So this is the very first, you would have seen this floating around today and last night, the first ever season where both grand final teams have started 0-2. Never happened.
I wonder if it's a sign of the times and maybe, do they get bigger breaks now because of the new agreement?
Okay, well, here's the interesting thing. They talked about this on the radio this morning. Brisbane and Collingwood obviously have shorter pre-seasons because they played until the end of September.
Yeah.
And this season was the earliest start to a VFL season ever.
Yeah.
So they've had the shortest break of any team ever.
Yeah. I think it's obviously showing.
Yes, I believe so. So that it's probably not a surprise, really, that's what happened.
And they'll probably come back.
Yeah. Well, if Collingwood lose this week to St Kilda, then they'll play Brisbane on Easter Eve, both not having won team games.
Ah, because they've got a bye.
Because Brisbane have a bye and Collingwood play St Kilda. Yeah.
Don't know about this bias.
Can you run through the ladder for us?
The ladder, we have the two Sydney-based teams at the top. So we've got GWS leading us and Sydney in second, followed by Gold Coast, Carlton, Port, Freo, Essendon and Melbourne rounding out the top eight.
Yep.
They're all pretty much, well, there's a few Melbourne-based teams, but...
In the bottom?
And then the bottom 10. We've got Geelong, Adelaide, St Kilda, Brisbane, Hawthorn, Richmond, Collingwood, North, Western Bulldogs and the West Coast Eagles.
There you go.
Bit hard to get a read on it though early, is it not?
It is, yeah. Especially when there's some teams who have played two games and some teams have only played one.
Yeah, that won't sort itself out till what,
for a few weeks, yeah.
Round six or something, I think.
Yeah. Well, let's preview round two then, Nick. This round has a grand final rematch ranking of three.
Grand final rematch ranking?
So the three of the pairings of teams have played in the previous grand final.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that St Kilda and the Pies?
They have, yeah. They played in 66 and 2010 grand final. So that game is, what, Thursday, I believe?
Yeah.
I think we've got Thursday games for a while.
Don't know how I feel about the Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Undecided.
St Kilda, I think Collingwood should be favourite in this, but you never know. The way they've been playing hasn't been great. St Kilda will want to come out and prove themselves.
Yeah, it'll be. Loss. It should be a crack at that because I think there is a lot on the line for both teams there. Yeah. Then you got Adelaide and the Cats.
And again, another good game where you should see the Crows come out and say, you know, realise we played really well in the last quarter but didn't win. If we can string that together, then we should be unbeatable at home, in theory. Cats travelling.
They didn't lose really last year at home, did they, Crows?
Crows, not really. But they can't win away. So they need to. These are the games they need to win. They're games they can't win.
I'll pencil that one in, I reckon. North and the Dockers.
The Dockers were one of the few teams the Roos actually beat last year.
Oh, gosh. So that's a grim start.
North, you know, this should be a game they could win, but Freo coming off some very good form.
Yeah.
So maybe the psychology of, you know, expecting to win will play into that.
Yes, and the Hawks and the D's.
Yes. This is a replay of the 1988 grand final, Nick.
Oh, who could forget?
Yeah. Well, most Melbourne supporters probably want to.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you lost by a lot. And once upon a time, these two teams played for the TM Ferguson Trophy.
Oh.
Not anymore. There's many intra-club medals that have gone by the wayside and been forgotten about.
TM Ferguson being?
I believe he was an administrator, maybe at both the teams.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't quote me on that. You're going to go to this? I know you've got a wedding.
Yeah, can't miss this one. I might have to get it up on the phone during the ceremony. Yeah.
I feel like the Hawks, when they had Clarko, always had a way of beating you, but I don't think...
We've come good. We lost to them quite consistently for about 12 years, I reckon. Yeah. That's why I don't like them.
Yeah.
We've got the Swans and the Dons.
Yeah, it's the replay of the 1912 grand final.
Oh.
Yeah. Big one the Bombers won that year.
Classic.
The Crows are doing another planned walk through the crowd to get to the ground. So did you see that they did an opening round against the D's? It's very, very like American college. They walked out of their rooms and walked through the crowd at the outside of the SCG and walked in. And they were high-fiving the crowd and there's a marching band.
Wow, I didn't see that. Yeah, nice touch. The Sydney, they do things a bit differently out there.
And you've been to the SCG quite a few times.
I have.
Up in Sydney, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It's
nice ground?
It is a nice ground. I sat in the equivalent, I guess, of the MCC, so it was a... It was a nice spot, but yeah, it's a different feel going to the footy there.
Yeah, okay.
It's just a different feel. Yeah, okay. Just I think the diehards aren't as prevalent as they are at the MCG. Someone might contest that, but I don't know. Just you can feel the sort of energy.
But that was what, 10 years ago?
No, this would have been six years ago.
How recently you lived there?
7.
Okay. Sydney and Essendon have a good recent rivalry as well. So the last few games, the last year, Swans won by 2 points. 2022, Bombers won by 9. There was that anomaly where the Swans beat us by 58. 2021, Swans by 7. And then by 3 that same year. 2020, Bombers by 6. 2019, Essendon by 10. 2019, Swans by 5. So they've been pretty close games. So looking at that, it should be a close game. But we're going to find out where the Bombers actually are after this game, because I'm curious to see how we match up against a very good team.
Yeah, like if you can pull the hat out there, that's a big win.
Yeah.
You're not, the bookies aren't backing you in though, by the looks of it.
No.
Western Bulldogs and the Gold Coast Suns.
Charlie and I have been trying to think, they should be like an inter-club cup for the Suns and the Giants. They need a cup to play for.
Why?
They don't have any. All these other clubs have got this history, so maybe the Rocket Eid Cup for this one.
Oh, yeah.
Just to acknowledge his time coaching both these clubs.
Yeah.
First game up in Ballarat. The Doggies actually had a really good deal because they got two games in Ballarat. It was two games for $22.
Oh.
I was strongly considering just becoming a Dogs member for $22 to get to go to these games.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too cold down there at this time of year too.
Well, there's one game now. I think the other one's August.
So yeah, okay.
But even $22 for one game is pretty bloody good.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the ground there? Is it
Mars Stadium?
How many would that?
17,000 maybe.
Okay.
Something like that. So interesting to see where the Dogs are at, because there's a lot of criticism of them at the moment, and see how the Suns travel.
I reckon they'll pump, maybe.
The Dogs.
Yeah, because I reckon they'll stand up. They've got too good of
their list. Their list is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Stacked forward line.
Bevo's got to be, if he can't get
he's got to go
together. Yeah.
They're too good. The midfield stacked.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe the back line's not as good, but I don't know. Shouldn't be not playing for one of them. Richmond and Port Adelaide.
Yeah. Okay. So this is Ken Hinckley's 250th game coached, and Travis Boak's 350th game.
Jeez.
So they've got big milestones to play for, against the Richmond team who's probably could have won last week.
Yeah.
At the MCG though, so it'll be interesting to see how they travel, and whether the Richmond supporters actually come out for this, because I think they were definitely outnumbered by Carlton supporters last Friday, Thursday.
Are you suggesting they only come to the games when they're up and about?
Oh, maybe they've just got some success fatigue. We spent years enjoying poor things. We don't need to see them lose for a while.
And the last game around is the Eagles and the Giants.
Yeah, so this is one of the games the Eagles won last year. They actually beat the Giants, I think, might have been round 2 or 3, 2023.
Yes, early days.
Yeah, before the Giants worked out who they actually were. The Giants, do you think, should win this? And, they've had, after the Collingwood game, a soft draw of West Coast and North Melbourne. But can they travel?
They were pretty good travelling last year, were they not?
Yeah, they won in, I think they played at, 11 different grounds last year, more than any other team's ever played at.
Yeah, I think.
So you think the Giants easily, but home opener for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Harley Reid playing against his old, debuting against his home fans, so.
True.
Yeah.
I reckon they'll still get a big crowd.
Yeah, they do. They always do. That's the good thing about West Coast. If you compare West Coast and Fitzroy, West Coast have got the supporter base and the money, and that's not an issue.
Yeah.
At least in the downward spiral at the moment.
And the Buyers, Lions and the Carlton have both got a buy.
Yeah. Yep. So only 8 games this week. Now, we are also, we're recording this Monday afternoon. This afternoon, we have the announcement of the Tasmanian team in colours.
Oh, is that right?
It's happening tonight at about 5:30.
Had they not given the colours? I thought they'd given a little design.
The team name, the logo, it's all being announced today.
So anything I've seen so far is just people
guessing,
yeah. Like the green and...
Yeah, well, that's the state jumper.
Okay.
Like the under-18s and stuff like that. So we're thinking, it was leaked by the Herald Sun 2 weeks ago that it was going to be the Devils and they're going to go traditional colours, but I'm curious to see how they'll go with that.
Yeah. It's a tough one when there's so many already taken.
It is. Well, green's not a colour used. But was you talking about grass? Like, how are we going to be able to see them with the grass behind them?
Yeah. I didn't say that, but that would make sense. Yeah.
But then I guess the Rabbitohs is what we like. They're green and they play rugby.
Green and white. It's,
yeah. So it just depends how they design the jumper.
Yeah. Green's not a good colour. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Doesn't look particularly flattering.
But no club has it, so I think it's...
They've got to.
They have to, yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Nick, I hope you've been thinking hard. So which Melbourne player was offered a contract with an English soccer club but turned it down?
Was it David Schwartz?
It wasn't, no.
Damn it!
It was Brad Green.
Oh, of course it was. Brad Green, 99.
Yeah, so he spent a month on trial with some clubs. At 15-year-old, he trained with Walsall, a lower division English club. He was offered the contract but turned it down. He was also scouted by Manchester United.
Jeez.
But then opted to return home to Tasmania to finish his studies and then started playing Australian rules.
Okay, there you go. Well, I don't know about Premier League as opposed to AFL, but at least he had a good career.
Yeah. Well, Nick, thank you for filling in Charlie's shoes today. Much appreciated.
Good luck to you, Charlie. If you're listening in the emergency room.
Yeah. All right, thanks, everyone. Hooroo.
Thanks for listening to the Kick to Kick podcast present Backward in Coming Forward. You can find all our old episodes wherever you get your good podcasts. If you want to get in contact with us, our email address is kicktokickpodcast@gmail.com. On social media, we have Twitter at Kick to Kick Pod, or on Facebook, or you can find us on Instagram at Backwards and Coming Forward. For a full list of our resources and things we use to inform our show, head to kicktokickpodcast.com. You'll also find some interesting things and all our old episodes. Once again, thank you for listening.